So we're going to try to finish Tamei HaMitzvos today, since it's been a while, even though there's still so much more we could see, but we have to talk about other topics as well. But we're going to talk about one more thing today. And specifically, I'd like to address two or three questions. First of all, we're going to begin with the question of, if it's such a great thing to learn Tamei HaMitzvos, then why didn't the Torah itself tell us the Tamei HaMitzvos? Then we're going to discuss the machlokas about darshin and tamei dekra, lo darshin and tamei dekra, and what does that mean in terms of looking for tamei mitzvos. And finally, Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to discuss the question of, if in fact we paskin lo darshin and tamei dekra, why do we have so many places where we seem to do exactly that, where we seem to determine the applicability of a particular mitzvah based off of its reason? So let's start with the beginning. Why is it? We've been assuming thus far that it's been very valuable to look for the Tamei HaMitzvos. We saw the Rambam, among others, emphasize that. And the question is, if this is so valuable, then why did the Torah hide these mitzvos, these reasons? So the Gemara Chaf Aleph on the base answers this. Again, we're using the same source sheets until now, at least for the first half of today's year. So Sanhedrin, Chaf Aleph on the base, Mepnei Malo Nizgala Tamei Torah, Sharei Shtei Mikraos Nizgala Taimam, Nichshal Bam Gadol Olam. There were two mitzvos where the Torah does in fact explicitly state the reason, and a great person was Nichshal, namely Shlomo HaMelech. Shenemar B'melech, V'lo Yar B'lo Nashim, V'lo Yasur Levavo. A king may not have too many wives, lest they cause his heart to stray. So Shlomo felt that this reason wasn't relevant to him. The pasuk says that his wives did lead him astray. What exactly does that mean is a discussion, but one way or the other, it's clear that in fact Shlomo was wrong. He thought the reason wasn't relevant for him, and indeed it was. Shlomo felt that he could be marbe besusim without having to go down to Egypt to get more horses. Right, the psukim say no, that Shlomo again did send down to Egypt for horses. So this is pretty straightforward. The reason why the Torah doesn't tell us the reasons is because if the Torah had told us the reasons, we would likely reason that these particular reasons don't apply to us. Someone as great as Shlomo did exactly that, and that led to his downfall in a way. The Akedas Yitzchak, which you have over here, it's a Bamidbar Shar Ayin Tes and Parshas Chukas, adds a knach. He says that, you know, inevitably it's human nature. When we know the reason for something, we find examples where we think the reason isn't relevant, right? You know, if we take the extreme examples that we talked about last week, if you think that pig is asar because of tapeworm, so then you'll say, okay, so if the pig is fully cooked, then it's mutter. If you say that the reason for Shabbos is because it's a day of rest, so, or a day of camaraderie, or a day of spirituality, whatever you say the reason is, you'll find examples, well, in this case, it would make sense to be Mechal Shabbos. Now, it's not just that this is true with respect to that will, you know, I guess there's two dangers here that Kedis Yitzchak points out. Number one is we'll be wrong. In other words, in fact, the reason is relevant for us and we'll be deceiving ourselves. But it's also because, like we've seen until now, we don't fully really understand the reasons for the mitzvos. And there are many aspects for the mitzvos. As we talked about from the Akedas Yitzchak last week, there are this worldly reasons for the mitzvos and there are Olam Habadika reasons. So there's a double danger. It's not just that I'll misjudge myself, but I won't really understand the reason for the mitzvah. And that will cause me to make a mistake. Rambam in the Maor Nevuchim in 326, when he quotes his Gemara, also adds a knach. And he says, it's not just that if the reasons were revealed, it would lead people to saying these mitzvahs don't apply to them. But he writes that the reasons weren't revealed in order that they should not be held in little esteem. Meaning to say, when I'm told the reason for something, so A, I think it might not apply to me, but B, that itself, you know, makes me hold it in little esteem, because, oh, that's the reason. Well, that's not relevant for me. Or, you know, I remember, I don't know if I told you this, you know, my grandmother used to tell me to do things. So I'm American. I used to like say, why is it? Why should I do this? Why shouldn't I do it? She'd always say, azay. That's the way it is. Azay. Right? So you can't argue with it, because if the answer is azay, you do it because I said. So she had reasons. She didn't tell me to do arbitrary things, but she knew that once she told me the reason, I would argue with it. I would think I knew better. I would think it's not relevant for me. Well, so that's sort of what, you know, what the Gemara is saying. Now, we have an obvious kasha. Okay. So in Canaan, Dvar Melu, so we now know why the Torah didn't reveal the reasons. So maybe we ourselves shouldn't seek the reasons, right? Because isn't that still a concern? In other words, if I go ahead and I try to figure out Tamei Mitzvos, so I'm going to go ahead and figure out what the reason for mitzvah is, and then I'll say to myself, okay, well, that's not relevant for me, and I'll come to violate the mitzvah. In other words, for the same reason why the Torah didn't say the reasons, so we shouldn't try to discover the reasons. So the Marsha over there points out, and it's very straightforward, that no, when we are speculating about the reasons for mitzvos, that same concern doesn't really apply, because we know that these reasons are speculative. Meaning to say, when I go ahead and I suggest a reason for a mitzvah, so I know that might not be the only reason. I may be wrong, or even if I'm right, there might be more to it. So that's not going to lead me to start saying, okay, well, in that case, it doesn't apply in this case, or it doesn't apply in that case, because I know that I don't necessarily have the whole thing. In other words, that's the reason why the Torah didn't tell us the reasons. But since there's value in understanding the reasons, as we talked about last time, we talked about the different reasons why it's valuable to understand the reasons. But once we understand why it's valuable to understand the reasons for mitzvos, as long as we're aware that this isn't complete and this doesn't explain, this isn't affecting the applicability, so then that concern isn't there anymore. And that's why at the same time, on the one hand, we say the Torah didn't give the reasons because of the danger, but there's still value in us suggesting reasons as long as we're aware that the reasons that we suggest aren't lemaisa and they're not necessarily complete. So this brings us to the famous discussion of lo darshin and time adikra. The Gemara in a number of places in Sanhedrin, Bav Metzia, has a machlokas tanaim about this question. The classical example is regarding lo sachbol beged almana. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that pasuk tells us that you can't take a security from a wealthy widow. Rabbi Shimon says that pasuk only is talking about a poor widow, a poor widow, but if it's a wealthy widow, it's going to be mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, amana, beinaniya, beinashira. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, they're arguing about darshin and time adikra. In other words, Rabbi Shimon is darish time adikra. So he says, memela, there's nothing wrong with taking the collateral from a wealthy widow, right? And Rabbi Shimon says, and Rabbi Yehuda says, lo darshin and time adikra. And we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Good. So we pass an audition time to cross. So then again, so why is it mutter? Why is it even valuable for us to go ahead and start suggesting reasons for mitzvahs? After all, we pass an audition and time to cross. So they'll be showing him answer, Tosus and Gittin, Mem Tesamid Beis, and the Ritva and Shabbos, and others. all point out that the machlokas about darshin time to cry or lo darshin time to cry is whether you can suggest reasons with a nafkamina. Can you use the reasons for a mitzvah to determine the parameters of the mitzvah? We paskin lo darshin and time to cry, which means that we don't say that the reasons of the mitzvah determine the parameters, but to offer reasons al pidrush, to offer non-binding explanations of mitzvahs, so that's okay. And like we saw, Chazal do this as well, like the Gemara about Mipnei Ma Asra Nida L'Shiva. An interesting question is, are there ever going to be nafkaminas? That's one question. We'll get back to that in a minute. But I want to ask a different question, which is, why not? In other words, if we think that we have figured out the reason for the mitzvah, so why is it that we can't then say, so chaps and nafkamina, in this case, the reason isn't relevant? So the Sefer Chinuch answers that question. And Sefer Chinuch answers, we saw it earlier, that, well, because maybe we only discovered one facet of the mitzvah. So when we say Darim HaDekra, when we try to say Tamei HaMitzvos, we figured out one facet of the mitzvah, but it's not the whole thing. So obviously, we can't suggest a nafkamina, because it's a nafkamina for what we discovered, but there might be other reasons for the mitzvah as well. The Nefesh HaChaim says it a little differently. This is the Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, Prakim, Chaf Aleph, and Chaf Beis. He says, actually, it's because we might be wrong. In other words, since we're speculating, the Torah didn't say the reasons for the mitzvahs, we're suggesting it. Maybe we got it wrong. So therefore, we can't apply it. Now, it's sort of interesting. He says, that's because no person since Adam HaRishon, Kodem HaChet, ever fully understood the reasons for all mitzvahs. And that's what he says. He says something interesting. He says, that's why, relates to last week's Parsha, that is why it was okay for the Avos to go ahead and sometimes violate the Torah. What's the pshat? That the pshat is that the Avos tried to figure out the reasons for mitzvos. And typically, since, you know, the reason was relevant for them. But if it turns out that Adarabba, let's say in the case of Yaakov, he reasoned that the tikkun of marrying two women is greater than the kilkel, the reason in his case wasn't really relevant. Now, if there was a formal tzivoy, so you still wouldn't be able to do it, because once the Torah said you can't marry two sisters, sorry, I said two women before, you can't marry two sisters. So even if you think that reason isn't relevant for you, you still have to do it. But since Yaakov Avinu was not yet commanded, the Torah was not yet given, so it was okay for him to say that this doesn't apply to me. It's true, there's a possibility Yaakov was wrong, but it made more sense since there wasn't a formal tzivoy for him to do what he thought made sense. Masha'en Kain, La'achar Matan Torah, we wouldn't say this. Now, it's interesting because Rabbi Chanan, you have it here in the Kovet Shirim, Kiddushin Kuf Mem Aleph. He actually says a different vart. He says the pshat is that even if you were to know the reason with certainty, you still couldn't violate it because the Torah was given unconditionally. In other words, before Matan Torah, let's say, why did the Avos keep the Torah? There were two reasons to keep the mitzvahs. One is there's a tzivoy, and two is because of the tam. So Kodem Matan Torah, the tam was the only reason. There was no tzivoy. There's just the tam. So if there's just the tam, and the Av Yaakov felt the tam wasn't relevant, so he could marry two sisters. But Lachar Matan Torah, since the tam is not the only reason, we also have to keep mitzvahs because there's a tzivoy. So therefore, even if we were to know with certainty what the reason is, you couldn't do it. Now, there's no practical nafkamina in the sense between the Nefesh HaChaim and Reb Chaim and Reb Elchanan, because they both say, practically speaking, you can't say the reason doesn't apply to me, so I'm not going to do it. The theoretical nafkamina would be if somehow or another you were 100% certain you knew the time of the mitzvah and it wasn't relevant for you. Then in theory, according to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, you wouldn't have to do it. And according to Rav Elchanan, since mitzvahs were given unconditionally, you still have to do it. It's only a theoretical nafkamina. It's not a practical nafkamina because Nefesh Chaim himself says that we don't know and we can't be certain about the reasons for mitzvahs. But an interesting question comes up, which is like this. If you think fundamentally there's value to figuring out the reasons for mitzvos, so we're never going to be makel based off of the reason. As we're not going to go ahead and marry two sisters because we think for us it would be valuable. The tikkun for marrying two sisters would outweigh the kilkel for marrying two sisters. Okay, so we're not going to do it lamaisa. But what about if it would lead to a chumrah? In other words, should we follow Tamei HaMitzvos when that would be a chumrah? Maybe we'll say over there, since I know the reason for this mitzvah. And the reason applies in a particular case. The Torah itself did not say that's mutter or aser, but I know that based off of the reason of the mitzvah, I shouldn't do this. In other words, will we look at time of dekra to create a chumrah? We won't do it for kula, but we will do it for chumrah. So the Chassam Sofer says, yes, we would. This is in Yerodeya. He says it in Tshuva Kufhei and also Resh Nun Dalet. I'll give you an example. The Rosh tells you what's the reason for writing a Sefer Torah for the purposes of learning. Right? That's why there's a mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. So he says, nowadays, according to the Rosh, you have to buy Sfarim. Right? And that's going to be a key of that mitzvah. Why? Because we're looking at the time of the mitzvah, and we're therefore, we're saying, the time of the mitzvah expands the mitzvah. So the time of the mitzvah is leading to a chumrah, not a kula. Right? We couldn't say, for example, this is interesting, if you thought that the mitzvah said that you have to write a Sefer Torah dafka, you couldn't say, nowadays that we don't learn write Sefer Torah to learn from, so therefore I don't have to. Right? We can't make a kula from it. Now, we have to figure out what the getter of the mitzvah is. We'll get back to that in a moment. But it could lead to a chumrah. That's the theory of the Rosh. In other words, of the Chassam Sofer. That's how he explains the Rosh. That Tamei HaMitzvos are valuable even in a lemaisa sense because they could expand or they could lead to a chumrah, but not to a kula. So that's, I guess, if you ask, are there any practical nafkaminas from Tamei HaMitzvos? Is it just theory or is it practical? So one practical nafkamina might be whether you could expand a mitzvah lechumrah. I'll point out that it's interesting. Let me take the questions. Yes, Ellie.
There's two questions. One, something you just said, and one, something you said a little while ago. What we just said about Archie and time to crawl by the Sefer Torah, you say maybe the Sefer Torah sermon is in Pasuk itself gives the reason.
A very good point. So the Gemara itself tells us that. The Gemara says that actually it's a reverse nafkamina. In the event that the Torah tells you the reason, so do you use the reason to determine the permeability? So if you hold Darshin and Taima Dekra, so then even if the Torah didn't tell you the reason, so you would be able to Darish. So if it does tell you the reason, it must be telling you that you don't Darshin. And if you hold Lo Darshin and Taima Dekra, then you're right. If the Torah does tell you the reason, then you can use the reason to determine the parameters. The question is here in the case of the Sefer Torah, is the Pasuk, how clear is the Pasuk? That's a good question. It's a relevant question. And if we were learning the halachos of mitzvahs, ksiva, Sefer Torah, and the Shita, the Rosh, which is very interesting, we would go into that. A little beyond the scope of today's shir, but I just brought it as an illustration of this principle, possibly. Yes, Ellie, you had another question?
Yeah, then also, the thing we mentioned with the avos were able to make a decision based off, mm-hmm. like based off their calculation of it doesn't make sense for them at the time. As well about Shlomo, I mean, we mentioned like it was after Matan Torah, but Shlomo seems to be also based on the Cheshbon and then miscalculated Cheshbon because it turns out he couldn't marry more than one. Like, because so wouldn't that also be a Cheshbon of like, even if we didn't have a formal tzivoy, just how could we?
Wait, Shlomo was wrong. Again? That's the point. Shlomo did the wrong thing. And if Shlomo messed up, and in that case, the Torah did say the reason, so that's what the Gemara is saying. There's a great concern that we would all mess up if the reasons for more mitzvahs were given, and that's why the Torah doesn't tell us the reasons. Okay, Max.
So I was just curious, again, it was like something I said a little earlier, is it related to mitzvah that the Torah explicitly gives reasons for? Does that limit our degree of like exploration of ideas as to like the reasons for those mitzvot that the Torah gives us explicit reasons for? And I'm curious also in relation to all of this, we're talking about like sort of like the dangers of like searching out of like the reason for the Torah not expressing a lot of mitzvot's reasons, because again, like what we've been saying, that would sort of like make it hard to follow them in all cases. But I'm wondering, because like I've heard this idea sort of like thrown around that like part of the reason also is that given the fact that certain mitzvahs are not given reasons, that gives us a certain plurality of being able to like sort of like see a lot more depth and layers to it. So it's like a plus also in that way. But I don't know if people have said that.
I hear it. Makes sense. Okay. Perfect. I see there are a bunch of other questions. Why don't we save the questions for a little later? Because I want to see a little more, but Bli Neder, get back to your questions. And before we end, I'll take all questions. But it depends how you define end. But I'll try to get back to you. But let's try to see a little more. So are there any other... So until now, let's say like this. What about the types of speculative reasons that we saw last week in the Rambam? Like the Rambam's association of many mitzvos with the Torah's agenda of pushing us away from idolatry. Is it possible that they would chop a nafkamina? So I would think for sure not, right? It's interesting, though. It might even be a little bit of a machlokas. The Tur writes that the reason why the Rambam held that hakafas harosh and hashchasas hazakan is Aser, right? The Isser of Baltakif and Baltashchis. Is Aser was because this was an idolatrous practice, right? It's like if you look at the medieval pictures of the monks, they have like those haircuts with their pay is missing. So look, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah used to do Baltakif and Baltashchis. So that's why the Torah prohibits it. So the Torah says that, again, you have this in the Merkava sheets. He says, it's in the Kuf Pei Aleph. The Torah says, Chas v'shalom, Chas v'shalom, Hakafas harosh v'ashcha, I'll just read it to you, Hakafas harosh v'ashcha, v'zakan, gam be'elu, kasav ha-rambam, she'asam ha-kasav mipnei, she'osin kein ovdei kochavim. Okay, adkan. V'ze eina mefurash, v'ein anu tzrichim levakesh tam le'mitzvos, ki mitzvos melechem aleinu, af lo noda taiman. So the Torah says, Mapito, we don't have to look for mitzvahs. Hashem says to not to cut your payas, so we're not going to cut our payas. Oh, so is there a nafkamina here, or is the Torah just commenting about the Rambam's approach to tamei mitzvos? So that's a little strange, because why did the Torah just bring this up over here in the mitzvah of Baltakif and Baltashchis? So the Taz writes, we'll start, I guess, with we'll start with the Taz. So the Taz says that actually there's a nafkamina. According to the Rambam, or at least the way the Torah understood the Rambam, it would be mutter to cut your payas in the event that the reason wasn't relevant. In other words, if you had a case, I'm not talking about pikuach nefesh, like for surgery, but I'm saying, let's say, for Shalom Malchus or something like that, you had a reason why you thought this mitzvah wasn't relevant for you, so then it would be mutter. That's the opinion of the Rambam. And that's why the Torah disagreed. That's why the Torah is piping up now. This isn't like a general critique of the Rambam, but he's saying, according to the Rambam, it would chapa nafka mina. And if that's the case, then l'chora, the Rambam is violating lo darshin and time of the crop. So here, if the Torah is right, if the Taz is right, so we have a very interesting machlokas, right? Let's say when it comes to the Yisr of Bal Takif, Bal Tashchis, according to the Rambam, the reason is because of the association of these activities with Avodah Zarah. And Mimela, if that reason isn't relevant, it's going to be Mutter. And according to the Torah, no, it's Asr across the boards. So what do we have to say about this? So first of all, I should point out that this might be different because the Rambam, when he presents this reason, it's not just the reason that he presents in Chel Gimel of Mar Nevuchim, but he articulates it explicitly in the Mishneh Torah, Hilchos of Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Zayin, as well as in the Sefer Mitzvos, Mem Gimel and Mem Dalet. The Rambam tells us that's the reason for these Yisurim. So as we've noted before, when the Rambam gives a reason in Sefer HaMitzvos or Mishneh Torah, it's very different than in Mar Nevuchim. And that's why the Torah held that a chaps a nafka mina. And moreover, as the Beis Yosef points, the reason that the Rambam says is based off of Psukim. Because the Beis Yosef points out, if you look at the Psukim, the Rambam, when the Torah prohibits hakafa and hashchasa, they're preceded in Vayikra Chaf Aleph Perek Chavav and followed Perek Chaf Ches by restrictions on following idolatrous practices. So that placement in the psukim indicates the reason for the mitzvah. And therefore, according to the Rambam, at least as understood by the Torah, since chukos ha'akom are sometimes allowed for shalom malchus, so the Rambam understood that this is bechlal, the general idea of chukos ha'akom, and memela it could chap a nafka mina. So what we see over here is that even though we say the Rambam's reasons for mitzvos and Mar Nevuchim might not ever be halacha lemaisa nogaya, but once they appear in a halachic context, and more importantly, once they have a makor, in this case, from the ediyuk, scriptural support from the placement of the Torah, then maybe there is a nafka mina. Happens to be that this particular example is of still a very big chiddush, and most mefarshim reject the Taz. But it already tells us that maybe there are going to be times that we are darshin on time of the krah. There's a famous Tosfos HaRosh in Bava Metzia. So the Gemara has a shaila over there. We know that there's a restriction in the Torah of losach som shor b'disho. So you can't muzzle a animal when it's working. And the Gemara says, well, what if the behemas matrezes v'ocheles, this cow has a chves, a diarrhea. So when it eats, it's going to get more sick, right? Sometimes an animal, even it's still going to eat anyway, but it's just going to make it more sick. So maybe the Gemara says you should be able to muzzle it in that case. Now, well, why should that be mutter? Lo darshin in time of the krah. I don't understand. It's true. Even if I go ahead and I say that the reason for the isser in the Torah is because it's a type of tzar bali chayim, the Torah is concerned about the pain and the comfort of the animals. So memela, it's going to be, the Torah says that it makes sense that if eating is going to cause the animal more pain, then it's going to be aser. I said it's going to be mutter. So what do you see over here? See an amazing thing. In other words, even though it's true, we say lo darshin in time of the krah, but sometimes either when the tam of the pasuk, even if it's not stated in the pasuk, is implied by the pasuk, maybe by the might maybe by the context, or where the tam is so obvious, it's pashut, like in the case that the reason why the Torah asered leisachsoim is because it will because of the concern for the well-being and the pain of the animal. So then, maybe all of a sudden we start considering the time of the krah. In other words, lo doshin the time of the krah is not mean that the tam is never relevant. Might be relevant, like we said, for chumras. It might be relevant when it's so obvious or when we have other support. Now you'll tell me, one second, what do they argue about? They argue about losach lo beged almana, right? The prohibition against saying collateral of a widow, right? So isn't it obvious that only applies to a poor widow? So if you think that a reason that's obvious is enough to say, well, where the reason's obvious, we will be darsh time of dekra. So then maybe I should say the same thing over there, but clearly we don't. So the truth is, that's not such a good question, because it's not actually so obvious why the Torah prohibits taking collateral from a woman. And in fact, the reason for Rabbi Yehuda might be that it's a different reason, right? Actually, even the reason that Rabbi Shimon says, it's not because, like we would think, oh, the Torah has compassion for poor people, so therefore let's give her a break. It's because since she's poor and you're going to have to return the collateral to her every, you know, if it's a nighttime collateral for the night and it's daytime collateral for the day, and then this man is going to be visiting the Almana's house, and it will start, bad rumors and things like that. So it's not even so obvious. But at least the Taisa Rush seems to indicate that where, even though the Pasuk doesn't say it, but where the reason is really, really obvious, maybe we do consider time of the crop. Actually, we'll think of what we're going to get back to the question of are there any other exceptions to time of the crop? But just an interesting, all right, what about the reverse? In other words, if you, let's say the Manda Amar Darshin on time of the crop, right? What about Rav Shimon? So they said, we don't paskin like Rav Shimon, paskin like Rav Yehuda. Most poskim assume we paskin lo darshin and time of the krah, though there is a discussion in the Achronim about that. But let's assume we paskin lo darshin and time of the krah. Fine. But there is a Tana that held darshin and time of the krah. So does that mean that, so according to Rabbi Shimon, that darshin and time of the krah, we would open up the Sefer Achinuch, or we'd open up the Rambam's Mo Nevuchim, and we would look at the reasons for the mitzvos, and then like paskin all the halachos based off of those reasons? Is that conceivable? So I would have thought it's pashut that we wouldn't. In other words, it has to be a much more rigorous reason, even for Rabbi Shimon to darshan it. Not these types of homiletical, speculative reasons. Lamashal, Rabbi Meir's view, that mepnei ma'asra taira nida l'shiva, that shelo yehe ragil v'katzba, right? So the Torah prohibited intimacy with the nida to infuse a marriage with invigoration in terms of intimacy and the like. Fine. So would anybody say, would Rabbi Shimon said that if a husband was away for 6 months and now he shows up his wife's a nida, that she's mutares? So Pasha, we wouldn't say that, right? Because that's a tam al pidrush, like the Rishonim say. That's not doesn't even reach the level of time of the krah. That's what I would have thought. Though there is an interesting Tar Shlamim, if anyone's learning Hilchos Nida this year, in Yoredeya Kuf Pei Gimel Sifkatan Beis, Kip Sifkatan Dalet, in his final answer, he argues, fascinating part, that according, he says that Rabbi Meir, who gives that reason, is going like the opinion of time of the krah. And therefore, he says, Nafgamina, according to Remeir's reasoning, if you had a penuya, there would be no violation of nida. Because since the whole reason for the isser of nida is to invigorate the intimacy, so Memela, that's something that we want for a couple. It's not something that we want for single people. So Memela, even though it's a tam al pidrush, there's still good achapa nafgamina. So I think that the Torah Shlomim is very shver. I don't think that's the pashtus. But even maybe even within the view of the Torah Shlomim, it's only because it's a reason given in Chazal. Now, I don't think anyone would say that according to Reb Shimon, we could look at the Sefer HaChinuch and follow those reasons l'maisa. Fine. So now let's turn, but anyway, as I said, that's sort of a academic question because we pask in Lodashin and Taimit Akra. But Ledidan, so we pask in Lodashin and Taimit Akra, other nafkaminas. So we mentioned before the idea that maybe we could expand a mitzvah based off of its reason. So the truth is the Sefer HaChinuch does this in a number of places. For example, when it comes to the mitzvah that you could only appoint a Jewish king, so the Sefer HaChinuch writes, "Umishoresh haMitzvah atadan she'aser gam kein limnos al hatzibur anashim rishayim v'achzarim." Right. So, from the shorish of the mitzvah, we could extrapolate. It's not just aser to appoint a Gentile king, but also a cruel king or a wicked king. And here, what's he doing? Again, it's a nafkamina, right? She'aser gamkein. So he seems to be expanding the time of the krah, expanding the mitzvah based off of the time of the krah. So how could that be? Rabbi Twersky has an article on this. He has, I think, six examples. It's a published in tradition of this in the Sefer HaChinuch. He calls it the expansivity principle, where we expand a principle, a mitzvah based off of the time of the cross. So one possibility is to say, like we saw from the Chassam Sefer, which is that we could load us in the time of the cross only because of a chashash, maybe we're wrong. So memela chumra, we will do. However, even here, I don't know if that's the correct answer. In other words, it could be that the Sefer HaChinuch isn't saying that appointing a wicked king is a formal violation of the Isser. He might simply be saying that logic dictates that if the Torah prohibits Gentile kings, it's improper to appoint Jewish kings that are wicked. In other words, the expansion isn't halachic, it's value-driven. So to put it differently, what we're saying here is that what do we use time of decree for, right? What are the practical applications of time of decree? So another practical application of time of decree is going to be the case of values. If we see a mitzvah reflects a certain value, so we will say that the mitzvah teaches us that we should do X or not do Y, even if it's not a formal violation of the mitzvah. Or to put it a little differently, we have to consider not just the letter of the law, but also the spirit of the law. Now again, how far you take this is oftentimes a very interesting question. If you go back to some of the writings of the early debates between the Hasidim and the Misnagdim, they sound like, you know, they're sort of hinging on this principle. The Misnagdim were saying, look, it's Aser to daven late. You know, how could you do it? And the Hasidim are saying, but look at the reason for Tzilah. And what is the point of tefillah without kavana? So we need to have proper achanos. And if we're a little late, so be it. There's more to say about that. And, you know, the nature of Chassidus in its early stages is a little different than it is now. But that's something to think about. So I want to talk about other nafkaminas, I would say, that come out from, again, even Ledidan, that Lo Darshin and Taima Dekra. So one issue is like this. There are many, many places in Chazal where you see that we seem to use the reason for mitzvah or svara to determine the parameters of a mitzvah. So let's give some examples to help us appreciate this. And then we'll try to understand the reasons for it. Well, before we get to the ones in Chazal, I'll tell you another nafkamina, not in Chazal, but maybe that emerges from Chazal as well. Very interesting idea. Rav Kook writes that even though we're not Darish Taima Dekra, but when it comes to figuring out haramar, types of legal loopholes, then Taima Dekra is very relevant. He actually writes this, it's a Nyana Dioma in Shavas Haaretz, it's on page 112, regarding the discussion of Heter Mechira. So he writes over there, the afal gav shadvar migeim im darshinan Taima Dekra, v'zehu l'inyan dina, shelo navor al divrei Torah l'kula mitzadatam. Aval b'makom shal pi Taima Dekra, hayarau l'horas l'kula l'gamre, Vade Shapir Dami Lahoro Shinucha Linho Bidavar de Harama Hamutaris. This is very much, this is the same idea as basically what the Nefesh HaChaim says with respect to the Avos keeping the Torah. In other words, there is value, like we've seen, in trying to figure out Taima Dekra. So let's try to figure out the Taima Dekra. And let's say we figure out that based off of the reason for a particular mitzvah, this mitzvah is not relevant in this circumstance. Now we still can't violate the mitzvah, because lo dashin in time of the kra. But if we have some type of legal loophole, it'll be okay. Or to put a little differently, we have to consider both the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. When you have a loophole, so that means the letter of the law isn't violated, but it's still totally wrong to use that loophole if the spirit of the law is being violated. But if both the letter of the law and the spirit of the law are not being violated, so then it's going to be totally okay. Right? In that sense, we're like avos keeping Torah. When the letter of the law isn't violated, so then the reason to still do the mitzvah or not do the aveira is because of the spirit of the law. It's not because there's a formal tzivoy, because there is no formal tzivoy due to the loophole. So memela, that will be left to us. Let us think. Let us be like Yaakov Avinu and figure out, is the reason relevant for me or is the reason not relevant for me? So Taima Dekra or Tamei HaMitzvos is extremely relevant in cases where you have a effective legal loophole. If it's ineffective, then there's nothing to talk about. And this comes up for something like Heter Mechira, or Mechiras Chametz, or Prusbol, or Heter Iska, or the like. Let's take Heter Iska, right? So let's assume it's a legitimate Heter Iska. Some Heter Iskas don't really work. But let's assume it's a totally legitimate Heter Iska. So Heter Iska is meant to, it's a type of harama to get around the Torah's prohibition of ribis by structuring the transaction not as purely a loan, but as 50%, let's say, investment and 50% loan. So I don't want to get into the details of this, but let's say it's going to work. So you could still ask, okay, is it right to do? Is it right to use a Heter Iska? So then the answer is, well, we'll have to go ahead and look. What's the reason why the Torah prohibited ribis? So if you think that the Torah's prohibition of ribis is because it's a form of tztaka, right? The reason why the Torah prohibited ribis is because the Torah wants us to give tzedakah, free loan as a form of tzedakah. It's a better form of tzedakah maybe even than giving a gift because it preserves the dignity of the recipient. Gevaldik. So now I have a shaila. Is it mutter to use a Heter Iska? So, well, what am I doing it for? Let's say I'm lending money to a wealthy person. He has lots of money, but he wants more money or whatever it is. Somebody doesn't have a lot of liquid cash available and they want to repave their tennis courts on their summer home in Bermuda. So they want to borrow some money. So, okay. So now, first they have to figure out if the spirit of the law, letter of the law is being violated. So let's say I come up with a legitimate Heter Iska. Okay. That's not so pushy in that case. It's not a business that a Heter Iska would be legitimate, but let's say you came up with a legitimate Heter Iska. So now I have to ask, is it the right thing or the wrong thing? So I could say, the Torah's reason for the prohibition of ribis is because halva should be a form of tzedakah. This guy doesn't need tzedakah. So memela doesn't violate the letter of the law, doesn't violate the spirit of the law. It's mutter l'chatchila. And that's the idea that Rav Kook is saying. And so the same thing with Prisbo. In other words, Hillel saw Nimnu Ha'amil Ha'alvo Zesa. So instead of the Hashmatas Ksafim helping the poor people, it was hurting them. So that's why he was Misakein Prisbo. Now, I'll point out, so, you know, let's say in terms of the question of Hatter Mechira for Shvius. There's two questions. First of all, does it actually work? And then if it does work, then you have to ask a second question. Well, why did the Torah prohibit this? And then you'll figure out, is it appropriate or not? That's exactly what Rav Kook is doing over there. Now, again, it's sort of important to point out that sometimes it's not always so obvious what the reason is. I'll just give you an example. Hashmatas Ksafim, right? So we said before that the reason for Hashmatas Ksafim is to help the poor from getting too, overburdened by debt. It gives them an opportunity to start again. The Tumim writes, this is in Simen Samach Zayin, Sifkatan Aleph, that the reason for Hashmatas Ksafim is because people get too absorbed in business and forget about God. And so the purpose is to cripple business activity. So that's like not what I would have thought the reason is, right? So even here, there's a danger. You might get the reason wrong. But still, that's the Yesod of Rav Kook, that we do our best to figure out the reasons for a mitzvah. And memela, if the reason of the mitzvah isn't relevant and the letter of the law isn't violated, then it's going to be mutter. Okay, so that's another nafkamina. I think agav, I guess we don't have time because I want to do a lot more, but there's a gemara in Yevamos on Tzadi Amud Beis that is, I think, a good place where maybe you see this idea in Chazal. But it relates to, the Gemara says, why is it that the Torah, it says, let's say a woman said her husband was dead and he wasn't dead, so the husband can't be made for her nedarim, because the purpose of Hafaras Nedarim is to create Shalom Bayis. And here we don't want Shalom Bayis. So it could be that the Pshat in the Gemara, if you look at some of the Mefarshim, is exactly this. It's saying that Chazal, that's not automatic, but Chazal looked at the reason and they said, this is the reason. So Memela makes sense to limit the law in certain ways. Fine. I don't want to, that needs a little more explanation, but we'll leave it for now. So that's one time where we say time of decree, not one, we've seen many. Another time where we say time of decree is very relevant, or time of mitzvos is very relevant. There are other places, though, where the Torah Act, the Gemara, Chazal, seem to be very straightforwardly saying, even though we pass in lo darshin in time of decree, that the time of decree is going to chap a nafkamina. So let's give some examples. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Vav Amud Beis, has a shayla, is the mitzvah of kvura for kavod ha-meis? Is it so we don't, it's disgraceful to the meis to leave it unburied? Or is it for atonement? Is it for kapara? That's why we bury. Gemara says, what's a nafkamina? A case where a person said, I don't want to be buried. Achveis, somebody says, I want to be cremated. So if you say that it's for so the body isn't defiled, so a person doesn't have the right to defile his own body, so we wouldn't listen to him. On the other hand, if we say it's for kapara, so a person has the right to forego kapara, and we would listen to him. So what are we doing over there? How could we do that? How could we say that isn't that darshin and time of dekra? Right? We're saying there's a nafkamina based off of the reason for the mitzvah. And it's interesting. If you look at the Lashonos of Rishonim, they mamish use the Lashon of Taima Dekra when they talk about this. I'll give you a mashal. There's a rush in Nida. And you see this all the time. The rush is, let me see, Paragimel Halacha Beis in Nida. I'll just read you one line from it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And you see it in many places. Upliga Rabban Rebbe Lazar Taima Dekra. If you learned Hilchos Nida, you know there's a drasha Dam velobish foferes. It's derashin from the word bivsara. Rabbi Lazar savar de mimatinan shfoferes mitam hafsaka. V'chein chaticha hecha de adam noge bivsara. Or dein adam noge bivsara. Right? So there's a drasha of bivsara. So what's the nafgamina? That it teaches me that if there's a hef, the drasha teaches me dam bishofaris is mutter. If the blood leaves straight from her uterus through a pipe outside of her body, it's mutter. So what's the reason for that? So Rabbi Lazar says, the reason is because the pipe is a hafsek. So therefore, if you have a chaticha, that's also mafsek, even though there's dam in the chaticha, it's mutter. And but aval pile pluye karinan shapir bivsara rabban and savri time adim matinan shofaris mishum dein darka shalisha leros dam kach. And therefore, since pali pluye, it's still ein darka bekach memeil, it's mutter. So again, what did the lashon of the rush was, right? Didarshina bivsara. Sorry, Upligi Rabban Rabbi Lazar b'taima dekra, right? They're arguing about what's the tam, what's the tam. So how can we say that? We paskin lo darshin and taima dekra. And we do this all the time in the Gemara, not all the time, but certainly a handful of times. I'll give you another example. This is more in the Rishonim. There's a mitzvah for Kohen to become to be mistamei lemeis, meaning to say, to become tame in the for when he loses one of the close relatives. Oh, so here's a shaila: is it mutter for Kohen to become tame for his mace before they're buried if it's not to facilitate kavura? Says Taisus Amida in one answer, and this is in the Shulchan Aruch as well, in Yardaya, that no. In other words, since the time of Dekra is what? To facilitate burial. So Memela, a Kohen can't become Tameh Lemeis if it's not to facilitate burial. So again, in that case, we're using time of Dekra to limit the mitzvah. Other Rishonim go the opposite direction. And they say, we're going to expand it based off of that reason. How so? So they say, there's a discussion, the Ramban, the Yavamos talks about this. But what if you have a case of someone who, Midoraisa, the Kohen, she's not one of the Krovim, but still it's going to be mutter if that's necessary to honor for kavod ha'meis, because without the kohen becoming tamei, then there's going to be a disgrace. Not that they formally rise to a meis mitzvah. Let's say there is kiddushei derabbanan, right? A kohen marries a woman, she's a ketana, al yedei her mother, her brother. So it's only a midrabbanan married. Could the kohen become tamei to bury her? Yeah. Why? Asua kameis mitzvah. What do you mean? Somebody, she's not like she's not going to be left buried. She's not a real meis mitzvah. Yeah, but we look at the tama, the reason for the Torah permitting the kohen to become tame, and we say that's relevant here, even though midaraisa, she's not even his wife. In other words, in all these cases, we're going ahead. We're saying, what's the reason for the mitzvah? And we're now chopping nafgaminas left and right. There's a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rav Huna about the mitzvah of Puravu. Is the reason for the mitzvah of Puravu to populate the world or to hasten the coming of Mashiach? Because Mashiach doesn't come at Shetachala Kol and Shamash Bagov. So what's a nafkamina? The Gemara says, should a person, or would a person be obligated to have more children if his children died in his lifetime? If the reason is to populate the world, then you're chayef. If the reason is to bring the Mashiach, then you're pater. So how do we answer all these shilas? So one approach is an idea that we already alluded to in the previous year, an idea that the Rav said, Rav Lichtenstein, Rabbi Rosenzweig, they all say the same idea in different words. And the idea is basically that we have to distinguish the way Rav Lichtenstein puts it is between the juridical why and the philosophical why, or like we saw last week in the Rav, between constructing the mitzvah or reconstructing the mitzvah. When we say lo darshin in time of dekra, what we're saying is you can't ask from the outside what's the reason of the mitzvah, and then based off of that answer, determine the parameters of the mitzvah. But if these come from within the mitzvah, from the dinim that are stated, from the halachos, if it's reconstructing, it's not why, but it's what. Or even if you ask it as a why, but it's a juridical why, it's a legal why. It's not just a philosophical why. It's not looking at it from the outside, but it's looking at it from the inside. So then that's going to be okay, right? That is not taima dekra, but that's not tameh hamitzvos. That's lamdas. And therefore, it's going to be okay. So let's review some of the things that we've seen so far, and then I guess I'll have to take your questions because I have to keep my promise. So when are there any practical applications to tamei hamitzvos since we passed the modershin and tamei dekra? We've seen a number of them. One of them is relates to cases where it's obvious. Maybe an example of that is the Taisus HaRash by Lo Sachsom. Another example is where it's a chumra, the idea of the Chassam Sofer. Another idea would be an example where there's a legal loophole, the idea of Rav Kook. Another example is an idea where it emerges from the juridical why, the lamdus of the mitzvah, from internal dinim. Another idea that we saw from the Taz is when it emerges from the text, where there's textual allusions. So there are many, many examples, and we could even give more, but we're out of time, where we, even though we assume lo darshin in time of dekra, we're going to go ahead and consider the reason for a mitzvah in a practical way. But of course, each of these, first of all, many of them are controversial, and moreover, we have to correctly apply them. So they're all complex, but what we see is, at the very least, that this idea of lo darshin in time of dekra is not so straightforward, and there are many times that we do consider it. So I guess for now we're going to stop this sugya of tamei hamitzvos. As you could see from your makoros, we didn't get through a lot of the things I wanted to talk about, but okay. Od chazon l'moed, we'll come back to it another time. And then next week we're off, and then we'll pick up the following Friday. So even though it's Arif Shabbos Chanukah, we still will have shir with a new sugya. I think maybe we'll talk about Hashkacha Pratis. Okay, so there's still a bunch of questions from before, so I'm happy to take them now. Okay, Avram.
Me?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, when Yaakov married two sisters, we have to remember that people weren't Jewish back then, so if they were Megayer, then technically they're not legally sisters, so it's not even an issue.
Right, if you think that there is such a thing as Geirus in those days.
I'm saying, how else do you look at it, meaning...
Because if there's no such thing as Geirus, then you wouldn't say Kekatan Shinoladami.
Right, but I'm saying...
That's why the Ramban and others were very bothered by that. Relates to this week's Parsha, right? The Ramban writes that why did Rachel die when she entered Eretz Yisrael? Because the Avos kept Torah in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. So Mimela, he couldn't remain married to two sisters. But that's a direction to go in. As I said, it's a difficult direction to understand because it's not obvious that you could have Geirus Kodem Matan Torah. But okay, that's it's not the answer that the Nefesh HaChaim gives or the Ramban gives, but maybe that's an answer one could give. Mm-hmm.
I forgot my other questions for now, so you can.
All right. Anyone else?
maybe a question about just better, for me to better understand the difference between the internal why and the philosophical why. Maybe I'm just having some difficulty understanding, like, I guess maybe an example, like the machlokas about Peruvu. Like, it seems like those are just like reasons, like whether to bring Mashiach closer.
So that's a very good question. And I will acknowledge that it's sometimes hard to figure that out. But the question, yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I have to go back to the sugya, and I'm not holding in that sugya right now. And look, it's a Gemara in Yevamos, Samach Beis Amid Aleph, and see, and try to figure out how to apply that here. I agree. Some cases it's a little more straightforward. Let's give an example. Maybe that's a little more straightforward, and then we'll see if we could apply it. That's less straightforward. So the Gemara in Bechoros, Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. There's a Rabbi Yehuda holds that the fact that the Torah allows a firstborn donkey to be redeemed with a sheep is meant to be a kula, right? Because usually sheep cost less than a donkey. So let's say if you want to be machmir and redeem a donkey with an actual donkey, you could do so. So there we could ask, how could that be? Lo darshin and time of dekra, right? Why is that different than the losachu beged almana? But maybe the answer is like this. This is a why that's juridical. In other words, the why emerges from the law itself. So a person might ask when learning this mitzvah, why is it that redeeming donkeys are different than redeeming other animals? How is redemption possible when the two things are of unequal value? Why does the unredeemed donkey have to be, you know, you have to kill it, and you have, and other examples of the unredeemed bechor, you don't have to. There's no such mitzvah, right? So those types of questions are not, could be understood as internal questions. In other words, they're all coming from within the Torah, right? It's within the Torah. Because I want to know why is this different when, you know, all other pidyons, l'chatchila, you're supposed to use something of the same value here, different, right? There's no din of arifa. There's no, so these are all questions that emerge within the law. And therefore, it's going to be okay. Now, I will agree that it's not always easy to figure this out. And I think that's why it's valuable that we have other answers as well. But it's tricky. It's not always so pashut. I agree with your Hara. Yes, Eric, sure.
Yeah, Rabbi mentioned that when a mitzvah reflects a certain virtue, then sometimes we have to take into account the spirit of the law. Mm-hmm. I'm like, mehechatesi, that we care that much about the spirit of the law. I mean, it seems like a very, like, a Christian idea to care about the spirit of the law, not the actual, you know, like, where does that come in?
Well, I mean, I would argue that you see it in Chazal and in the Rishonim, suddenly, you know, I don't think it's Christian. Again, it's whether Christians do it or not, there's an araya that it's right or wrong. I think that it's only controversial in the event that it's being used as a reason to violate what would otherwise be the letter of the law, but not when you're expanding it. we're supposed to understand, and go back to the first year when we started looking at Tamei HaMitzvos and looking at the Ramban. So the Ramban told us that many, many times the goal of mitzvos is to instill these values, right? Make a person a more kind person or whatever the answer is. So I don't know. It's very reasonable to go ahead and take that into consideration. And I would argue that if you want, like from the Torah itself where you see this, it's mitzvos like kedoshim to you. So mitzvos like kedoshim to you are designed, the Ramban explains, because otherwise a person could be novel versus a Torah. So after the Torah goes ahead and restricts what foods you can't eat and what wines you can't drink and what women, there's iserbia, the Torah then says, kedoshim to you. And the reason for this positive mitzvah after all the negative restrictions, the Ramban says, is because you could be novel b'rishas HaTorah. In other words, there's more than just the letter of the law. You could not be in violation of the letter of the law and still be a disgusting person. So the Torah allows you to have glatt kosher meat, but you could still be a glatt kosher glutton. And the Torah does the same thing with Shabbos, the Ramban says, and it does the same thing with business law. When it says Vasisa Siyashav Satov, you could not cheat and steal and the like, not violate any of Choshen Mishpat, but still be a novel Bisha Satora. So that's what the Torah says, Vasisa Satov. In other words, in that those cases, the Torah is telling us, it's even in those three examples at the very least, the Torah is giving us a mitzvah itself that tells us to consider the values of the Torah and not be a novel Bisha Satora. So I think that that's an idea that we find in many contexts.
Thank you.
Sure.
When you were talking about the distinction between like the why and the what, so mm-hmm. I noticed that like you formulated as being like an insider versus an outsider.
Uh-huh.
But isn't there also room to make the distinction that like between the why and the what, like that formulation in the sense that like in terms of the motivation behind the mitzvos mm-hmm. as to like why we do them and why they exist is like beyond our grasp completely. But in terms of like the what, like the nature of the mitzvah,
just that's correct. It's just a what. So then it's pasha. We're just asking what's the nature of the mitzvah. The reason why, and that's why, usually the way Brisker's formulated is we only ask what's not whys. A lot of times their what's are just whys in disguise. In other words, they say, oh, I'm not asking why is the Torah prohibiting this. I'm saying, what's the reason why the Torah prohibits it? In other words, again, let's go ahead and apply it. Let's go back to the example that we gave with Pidyon Patek Mamor, right? So you could call that a what, but really it's a why, right? Why did the Torah say that you could be poda a chamor with a sheep? Right? And the answer is, and so we're saying that's internal because really what we're asking is why is this pidyon different than all the other pidyons in the Torah? But it's still a why question, right? The question is why? And the answer is why? Because the Torah is being makel on us, allowing us to redeem a expensive donkey with a cheap sheep. And the nafkamina then is that if you wanted to redeem a donkey with a donkey, you could, because if the Torah is trying to be easier for us, make things easier, then it's going to be mutter. In other words, what we're doing is that really does sound like a why. But we're saying that even though it's a why, in other words, I agree with you, Eitan, if literally we're asking what, then that's pashut, that's true, right? Saying even when the what is a why, it's still okay. Because it's from within. We're trying to figure out what's the lambdas.
But it couldn't it be even like more restrictive? I'll say even within like Pidyon Peter Hamor, like you know, just based off like the lambdas in it.
Right.
Some say that it's like
that won't answer the question. In other words, because there's so many cases where we ask why, whether that example from Pidyon Peter Hamor or the example we gave before about the nature of mitzvah's tvura or the machlokas that we saw in the Rush. About mipnei ma asra hetira dam b'shvofares, right? In other words, if you don't allow for whys, then you're not going to be able to answer the questions. I could tell you a dozen sugyas where we ask why and we chapa nafkamina. And so your answer is a great answer, but it won't answer most of the, it won't answer those questions. So you have to be, we have to figure out an answer to those questions, right? Otherwise we're just left with, so it's pashut, what you're saying is correct, that what is always, always okay. But what I'm trying to figure out is when is why okay? Because there are a lot of cases where we seem to be asking why and still chapping a nafkamina. There's an example, machlokas rishonim, why did the Torah aser give the mitzvah of teichacha? And they're nafkaminas. The nafkamina is that the rishonim discusses, what if he's not going to listen anyway? If teichacha is just about getting him to do better, so then there's no point. If there's an aspect of the mitzvah is to make a protest, a macha, then sometimes there's going to be an inyan of teichacha, even if he's not going to listen. In other words, these are just saying why. You could only ask what and not why. Won't answer all these questions. Moshe.
Yeah. You touched on when Rambam says kadoshim to you, but to know what is naval and what is not naval, that seems to me time of decra. You know, see what. The fact that Torah does, how do we know
this? Our whole topic. So what, there are many answers to that question, but one answer is looking to the Torah for values. You know, why does the Torah have so many stories? Half of the Torah is non-halachic. The answer is because those stories, among other things, teach us values, and those values determine behavior that's appropriate or not. Why? Because in those stories, we learn the values of the Torah. And from those values, we determine what type of things are right and what types of things are wrong. And we could determine, using those values, that certain things, even if they're not in technical violation of the law, are still disgusting. So it's not necessarily the case. In other words, to figure out what's novel versus a Torah, this is an interesting question. Is the only source the Torah? That's not today's discussion. But for it, certainly everybody would agree that we seek to figure out the Torah's values by studying the Torah. And in doing that, we then could go ahead and apply that in practical ways. So the things that are novel b'rishus haTorah, why are they novel? We could look to the Torah to figure that out. It's just not a violation of the letter of the law. So it wouldn't be formally aser, but it's against the Torah's values. And memela, it's a violation of kedoshim to you. And what's so interesting about the Ramban's Mahalish is then that becomes part of the letter of the law, because lemaisa kedoshim to you is a mitzvah. In other words, what turns out is that when you do those things that are novel b'rishus haTorah, when you're in violation of kedoshim to you, it's not just that you're in violation of the spirit of the law, but because there's a mitzvah of kedoshim to you, then you're also in violation of the letter of the law. Not the letter of the law of the other mitzvos, but the letter of the mitzvah of kedoshim to you. It's not a midas chasidus, it's a mitzvah d'orais, it's from the tayag mitzvos.
Well, I want to just wish you a good Shabbos. And I was just thinking while you're talking that Avram Avinu was Megayer Gerim. So you do see that Gerim existed.
Right. So if you're right that it was real Gerus, so then there's there's thousands of Jews running around the world that don't know they're Jewish. In other words, Avram Megayeris Anashim is Sar Megayeris Anashim. So the question is, how literally do you mean that? So It was a type of geirus, but it was a type of geirus that was a primatan Torah geirus, which means not to Judaism, they weren't halachically Jews, but rather it meant to the values of Hashem. Mm.
Very interesting.
Moshe, you were saying something?
I just want to wish you a good Shabbos.
Thank you, good Shabbos.
Thanks.
So it seems, if you're saying we see the values of the Torah, so that seems like an eternal thing. So using those values of saying Beged Almana, So you can easily see that Chazal might say, I mean, I'm not, obviously they don't say because they say don't talk entirely about the crop, but you say b'mev devorim amorim v'amona aniya, because we know the Torah is concerned about aniyim. The Torah is not worrying about rich women because they're not, they're not in need.
Right.
So in other words, this distinction between internal and external, to me, is very elusive.
I understand what you're saying, and it's oftentimes elusive. It happens to be Agav, like I told you before. That's not Rabbi Shimon who says Darshin and Taima Dekra and says the mitzvah only applies to in Aniya, not in Ashira, doesn't even give you a reason. It's not because of the Torah's concern for poor people, but rather it's a concern that it's going to cause bad rumors to spread about her when he returns the collateral to her each day. In other words, it's not even exactly the reason that you said, which sort of highlights the difficulty here. But again, I think that the answer is that within the internal mitzvah, there's no evidence that it should be limited to aniyas and not ashiras, and therefore it's a violation of lo darshin and taima dekra.
So another example of the class, of this, what is this? Is the case of Shiloh HaKain. Because you said just like Lo Sachsarm Shal B'Disho seems to be obvious, someone might say that Shiloh HaKain is also obvious, but the one who says that reason, Mishatkin also, right? And I think there's
we talked about that extensively before. First of all, that might be because he's saying it in the context of Chazar Sashatz. Tosis Yantif points out, and the Rambam in Mardavuchim says that memory is going according to the opinion that mitzvos don't have reasons. We assume mitzvos do have reasons, and moreover, the Ramban says the pshat in that reason why Mishaskin Oso is because that's the incorrect reason, because the real reason is not for concern for the feelings of the bird, but rather it is to make us kind and non-cruel people. So it's not the reason that you said.
Well,
necessarily.
Let's say you come across eggs and you don't really want the eggs. There's an opportunity to the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKain. Now, if you have in mind that the idea is to teach us to be compassionate, then you shouldn't take them out. Because
if you take the Rambam's reason for the mitzvah, which is concern for the animal, or the Ramban's reason for the mitzvah, that it's about making us compassionate, then you absolutely shouldn't. And the only people that say you should do it, it's a discussion in a poskim, are because they accept the Kabbalistic reason of the mitzvah. And the Kabbalistic of the reason of the mitzvah would still be relevant. But according to the Rambam and Ramban's reason, you definitely wouldn't. And that's a good example of a situation where Taima Dekra might somewhat be relevant, Lamaisa, as you see in the poskim when they discuss that.
Yeah, that was the point I'm leading to.
That's the point that the Chassam Sofer is making. In other words, over there, if the mitzvah was a chayva, there'd be nothing to talk about. But the question here, there's no chova to do the mitzvah. But the question is, should you still go out of your way to do it? And the answer is that since here there's no violation of the letter of the law, or the letter of the law doesn't demand that you do it. So now the question is, well, is it a good idea to do it anyway? So for something like that, it makes sense to turn to Tamei HaMitzvos. And depending on which mitzvah, Tama mitzvah you adopt, that would yield a different nafgamina. So if you take the Kabbalistic reason, then you would do it. If you take the Ramban or the Ramban's reason, at least the Ramban's Nigla reason, The Ramban also has a Nistar reason, though it's a different reason than that one. But anyway, if you take the Ramban's Nigla reason or the Ramban's reason, you wouldn't. So it's okay to use Tanya Dekra in that case to determine whether or not you should do this or not, because regardless, there's no obligation vis-a-vis the letter of the law.
So no one would say you can't use Tanya Dekra in the case of a mitzvah kiyumis,
which is in a sense, yeah. Uh-huh. This is very similar to the idea, I think, that Rav Kook writes.
Because I read an article once about a woman, apparently her Rav was into the Kabbalistic reason, and he told her to take the eggs, and he didn't, and said don't leave them in the refrigerator until they shrivel up, because you can't use them, you shouldn't use them because they might be unhealthful. So and the purpose of it is dafka to get the mother bird upset. And it was sort of pitiful that the mother, after she came back to the nest, was turning over the leaves and so forth, looking for her eggs. And I was thinking, this is because of the Kabbalistic reason, according to the other reason.
Correct. The Chassam Sofer makes the very point that you're saying, more or less.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, very interesting topic. Thank you very much.
Yes, Ellie.
Thank you, Rebbe. I was wondering, did Rebbe allude to the fact that there might be other answers also in addition to the juridical why versus philosophical why?
Yeah.
I was wondering if maybe al regel achad, if just like the Rosh HaPrakim of...
I wrote an article on this in English that was published in Chakira, I don't know, probably about 10 years ago. And also a Hebrew article, but with different points, a little older. And that was published in Beis Yitzchak. So I have more examples and more answers in those articles.
Oh, thank you. Does Rebbe remember what the title of the Chakira article was?
No, but I only wrote one Chakira article. So if you do a search for Chakira in my name, you could find it. And if you can't, email me and I'll find it for you.
Okay, thank you so much, Rebbe.
Sure. Okay, Kol Tov.
Thank you, Kol Tov. Have a good Shabbos.
Very good Shabbos. Thank you for the shiur.
Sure.